Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbor.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
My
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast. This is episode 179. My name is Peter and I'm joined by Sue this week. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can't believe it's already April.
It's already April and it's still cold up here and I'm getting frustrated because it shouldn't be so cold anymore. Come on. Let's get some nice weather in the north.
Yeah, and down here we're looking at higher than average temperatures coming up during the week. So
okay, well, that's maybe not good because, like, average would be good right now, right?
Right. We'd like to keep those 90s and humid days delayed a little bit longer.
Couple more months, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, we have a couple of kind of big stories this week. We're going to start out by thanking our sponsor, and our sponsor this week is Monera Financial. You can reach out to them. They are basically a financial house that finances DVC resale contracts and DVC direct contracts. So if you are purchasing a resale contract and you're looking for financing, you can contact them. If you purchase through Disney and you want to refinance at a lower rate than Disney's rate, again, reach out to them, Monera Financial. And they will be able to give you a great price. They don't turn anybody down because you have your contract as collateral. So they don't refuse anybody. And it's a great opportunity to get a lower interest rate on those contracts. So check them out, Monera Financial. And with that, we're going to dive right in because this came out on March 31st. DVC issues amendment to commercial use policy. They've been talking about this for, I don't know, a year and a half or so, Sue, right, about tightening up on commercial use. But this is the first really concrete change that they've made. On March 31st, Disney Vacation Club formally adopted a new commercial use policy across all resorts and associations, replacing the prior 2011 policy and expanding on updates made in 2025. The update reinforces the existing policies against commercial use. And this is a direct quote. Disney Vacation Club membership is intended for personal use and enjoyment only. Governing documents prohibit members from using their membership for commercial purposes. Members are not permitted to engage in the practice of regularly or frequently selling, renting reservations booked using their membership. The newly adopted policy gives DVC management authority to interpret and enforce these rules, introducing both specific criteria for violations and defined enforcement actions. So we reviewed these policies, and here are some of the items that stand out. The rental activity that is being called out is as follows, and I tried to sum this up relatively concisely. There's a lot of legalese in there. A majority of the reservations made or points used or a majority of the aggregate vacations are used by individuals or entities other than the named owner or associate, regardless of whether the owner or associate is listed as a named guest on the reservation. Another case is a majority of the reservations or points owned or controlled by an owner are made or used at resorts with overlapping room types and or dates. So I think they're looking at, oh, someone booked 10 reservations at Animal Kingdom Lodge value rooms using all their points. What's going on here? Regularly advertising by an owner of the availability of vacation ownership interests and or vacation homes for rental, including to not limited to using a dedicated website, social media account, page post, third party service provider, or on any other media or platform. In any 12-month period, more than 20 reservations are made by an owner and or its associate, and a majority of such reservations are not used by the named owner or associate. And then if an owner, associate, or owner agent conducts photography, videotaping, or recording on resort property that is used to market the availability of vacation ownership interests and or vacation homes for rental activity. So those are the things they're going to be looking at to determine if someone is using their contracts for commercial purposes. So you notice a lot of them say a majority. So if you're using a majority of your points, to me, a majority is more than 50%, right? Would you agree with that, Sue?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. And I think this, you know, when you look at it, Peter, what it boils down to is members can still rent out their points. That's not a problem.
Sure.
It's just that you make 10 reservations in a year and your name is only on one of them and you've got other names on all the others.
Right.
That's going to start to raise a little bit of a red flag. Now, we do know that members will make reservations for family members and not be with them.
Yep.
Honeymoons, for example, they don't want you there. You can still do that. That's not a problem. It's if it's a continuous thing over and over that they see. And as you said, majority is what they're looking at.
DVC, along with their lawyers, put this together. And they have to know what they're looking at. Because if you are someone that's doing this commercially, it's probably very obvious from Disney's point of view that, as you say, you make 20 contracts a year. You don't use any of them. You know, they said overlapping contracts. So I'm sure very common. You book 10 contracts for Christmas week or something like that. You know,
right.
Popular weeks. Run Disney's another example. You rent out a bunch of rooms for Run Disney. They're gonna question that. And we're not talking about like two rooms here, right? We're talking about probably like five or six, and you're not using any of them. Things like that.
Right.
I mean, commercial use is pretty obvious when you see it. But I think with this, they wanted to be able to point to and say, here's what commercial rental is. And then the second part of this is what restrictions, violations could lead to. Because as an owner, they can't really take away your property, right? They have to find other ways to restrict it. And here's a list of some of the things that they have called out and are able to do. One would be cancel future reservations, restrict owners and associates access to online booking. So they wouldn't be able to book online. They would have to call. Restrict owner reservations to be made only in the name of the owner. So they could say your contract no longer is valid for you to book for guests. You have to use it. Restrict reservations to be made only at the owner's home resort. So they can basically take away some of your benefits. Restrict owners and associates' ability to modify reservations, including any name or date-based modifications. So if you book something, you're basically stuck with those names you book at. Restrict banking, borrowing, and transferring of points. Limit or remove owners' access to incidental benefits. Restrict adding associates to your contract, which is like family members and things like that. Restrict existing associates that are on the contract already. Restrict check-in activities, such as using online check-in, direct-to-room, or other mobile check-in activities. So really, they're basically saying, we can't completely stop you from using your points, but we can make it very, very difficult for you to use it, even for yourself, and impossible for others to use it. What's your opinion on this, Sue? I mean, you work for DVC Resale, which they have a division that does rentals. You're not associated with that group. But I would think that, because this isn't going to end rentals, what this is trying to do, and I think most owners would agree, is it's trying to stop the people that are hogging certain resorts and times and dates and things like that for the purpose solely of renting them out. So what's your opinion?
To me, what they're trying to do is owners have been complaining, and they've complained at the annual meetings about people who are taking a large number of their points and they're renting them out. And they're renting them out and they're taking Christmas week, they're taking Thanksgiving, they're taking the Run Disney, they're taking the value rooms. And so they're taking away inventory that other members can't access.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I rented out, you know, I rented out once, and basically it was to pay for a cruise. Mm-hmm. So I did rent points out, but that's about the only time I did that. And I don't want to be restricted that I can't do that.
Right.
But I do understand where members are coming from. If you have your heart set on coming down for Thanksgiving and you're going to book it 11 months in advance, and you find out that somebody else has booked four rooms or five rooms and they walked their reservations, during that period of time. So when your 11 months comes up and you try and book, you don't have the availability of what you're looking for. That's disappointing.
Yeah, and I see very strong evidence of that this something is going on. Because what I'll say is, like, owning at Animal Kingdom, value rooms have always been difficult to get. You know, you've always had to book them at 11 months, so they're not going to non-owners. But over the last few years, it's gone from, boy, I really got to get on there at 11 months, to forget it. It's booked, I don't know how, but it's booked all the time. I can never get a value studio and rarely a value one bedroom. And it's not like there's more members that have access to those because it's still just the owners at Animal Kingdom that have access to those. Either people are, you know, really walking the heck out of these reservations, or someone's going in there and booking them up as the first chance they get. And same thing I see with the Boardwalk. I own a small contract at Boardwalk, and boy, is it hard. It's always been hard, but it's harder and harder to get the resort view, the lowest point view. And I agree, it's very unfair. Like, okay, I compete with the other owners, fine, but I shouldn't have to compete with people that are doing this for a profit. They shouldn't be taking away my access to certain rooms and things like that. So, you know, I don't know how big a problem this is. Disney hasn't come out and said, oh, 10% of the points are being rented commercially or anything like that. I'm sure that's too high a number, but, you know, I'm just throwing a number out there. I don't know what it is, but I think Disney doesn't want it because it hurts their members and turns off members that they can't get the rooms they want. And I agree, we don't want to end rentals. I purposefully bought more points than I might use some years. Like, some years I've used all my points, and other years I've rented out some of my points because I didn't. Last year, not 2025, but 2024, we took off completely. We didn't go. So I rented out some of my points that year, and wasn't 50%, so it wasn't a majority, and it was only one thing. But I still want to be able to do that. And I'm glad to see they're not saying nobody can do this. They're saying these commercial renters can't. And I'm not even sure it really would affect, like, DVC Rental Store, because I would think the majority of people doing this commercially are also doing it themselves. So they're not they're not sharing the profit with the rental store, right?
Correct.
The reason someone like me goes to DVC Rental Store is I don't want to deal with the hassle of trying to rent it or finding someone trustworthy and everything like that. And DVC Rental Store works as that intermediary. And yes, I have to pay them a couple dollars per point in order to do that, but it does it in a safe and secure way. Right. I would think somebody that's doing this commercially is trying to maximize their profit and isn't going through a third party group. They're probably doing it themselves. So
yeah, I would think so too.
I don't even think this would affect a DVC Rental Store a lot.
No, it really shouldn't, because they are an intermediary, and just lining up people who want a specific reservation with somebody who has points that they're trying to rent. And it's the same thing that I saw with one of my clients recently, where they have bought from the DVC resale market, so they cannot use their points for a Disney cruise. They wanted to go on a Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they rented out their points to get money to help with the cost of a Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. Disney still got their money. I mean, they went on the cruise, they spent money on the cruise, and they really enjoyed it. But to them, the way they were able to get on the cruise was to have some of the cost taken care of by using their points. Mm-hmm. On the rental. I think that in looking at their list of anyone found in violation may see one or more of the following enforcements, it was kind of a shotgun. They hit just about everything on here, all the way down to incidental benefits, which really wouldn't impact the resale buyers.
Right. Well, or renters for that matter, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I think that they're just, you know, with their lawyers, they're covering all their bases.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's pretty clear, you know, again, they've been talking about this for about a year and a half, that they really went through the legal side of it to say, okay, if we're going to crack down on this, how do we do it in such a way that we're not going to get members that are going to be suing us back for this reason?
Right.
So, you know, again, I don't think in any way they're going to go after the casual owner, even one that rents points out every year. If you have,
right,
you know, 400 points and you rent 150 or 200 of them every year, just because the last few years, you know, your kids have grown up or whatever, I don't think they're going to look at that. I mean, if you have, right, 400 points and you rent out 400 points every year, maybe they will. I think there's people out there that own thousands of points, because there's like trusts that own points too, right? It's not necessarily, correct, just individuals. So I think they're looking at places that own thousands of points and do this as a true business.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to stop. And I wholeheartedly encourage them to do so. Do you think we could see a surge of contracts come on the market from this if they really crack down? Or do you think it's not a big enough percentage that it'll really...
No, I think if they really crack down, we're going to see some individuals who will get out of that business.
Right.
So they'll be selling their contracts. But in the meantime, I'm glad that this is happening as a member. I'm very happy that it's happening. It's going to be interesting to see how they actually enforce it. But I know that the members are going to be happy at next year's annual meeting.
Yeah. And of all those things, to me, it seemed like easiest thing to do is to say, only you can stay there.
Right, right. And that's, you know, when I sold for Disney, one of the things was we would talk to the clients, the guests, and a lot of them who had kids, we'd say, you could give your son or your daughter a honeymoon.
Right.
And, you know, use your points for a honeymoon, whether it's with the exchange through II, or whether you want to send them to Disneyland Paris or to Disney World.
Right.
And as I said, no person's going to want their parents on their honeymoon. You'd have to be able to rent it out.
Another reason that we bought as many points as we did was we wanted to be able to invite friends along, and we just took a trip, yep, in January, and we provided points for this other couple.
Yep.
They paid us the maintenance fee. That's all we charged them was,
right,
you know, was the maintenance fee for the number of points. But of course, they could never have stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge for what the maintenance fees cost, right? It was like $130 a night or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't see Disney like cracking down to the point of like, especially like in our case, we were there and they were there at the same time. It's like,
right,
they're not going to go after that. Again, they're writing this in a way so they can go after the true people that are doing this. And I, yeah, really hope that they do crack down on it. And I hope that we maybe see some better availability out of it. Would be great.
I agree.
Anything else you want to say about it, or?
No, I think let's put that one to bed,
okay,
and pick up on it probably in a few months.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll hear something by then from Disney as to how it's going.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the one-time use point price has increased. As you know, that DVC members are allowed to rent from Disney up to 24 points, one-time use points, every use year for each separate contract. Well, those points, on March 23rd, Disney raised the price of the one-time use points from $20 each to $22.50 per point. The price had originally been increased back in 2023 from $19 to $22 per point, but then about a year later, it was reduced again back to $19. The DVC members, as I said, are allowed to purchase up to 24 one-time use points every use year for each separate contract, and that's for reservations made at the 7-month or less mark.
Right. Yeah.
So you cannot use them at the 11-month mark.
Yeah. Have you ever bought one-time use points?
Yeah, I did. I borrow my points every single year. I use next year's points. So as I said, when I die, I will have taken next year's vacation before I die. That's my philosophy. So there have been some times where I'm down like 3, 4, 5 points. And yes, I have bought them from Disney. And I like that. I like that we can do that. So if you are short a few points, and I know a lot of family members who also have the DVC have done the same thing. How about you?
I think I did it once. We needed a few extra points. It wasn't 24 points, but it was, I don't know, it might have been like 6 or 8 points. the last contract we bought, I for a number of reasons, I decided to buy more points just to be like, I want enough points that I don't that I can invite people, I can do other things, you know. So since then, we haven't really needed to do that. Lucky enough to be point comfortable, so to speak. So we haven't had to borrow, at least since that point. I think early on, we did have to get some one-time use points. As you say, the negative to them is you got to do it at 7 months. And so you also can't, like, you have to call to get the points, so you can't book first thing in the morning. Yeah, the borrowing philosophy, there's a lot of people that have that. Vicky, who used to join us on her show, she would always say to me, ABB, always be borrowing.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not a borrower, actually. I pretty much use my points in the use year, but it is funny that they raised the price, and then they lowered the price again, and now they're raising the price again. So.
Right, right. And they're raising the price higher than the last time they raised the price.
Yes, because it was, yeah, it was 22, so now it's 22.50. Yep. So.
Yes, it's gone up.
I always wondered, did they, like, when they raised it the first time, did they see, like, a real drop-off in people doing it, and therefore they decided to raise it again? I don't know. Or does this have to do with the member Magic Beyond, which allows
that's what I'm thinking,
to pay half price, or basically you get buy one get one points, right? It's not truly half price.
Right.
You buy 12 points, you get 12 free.
Right.
So maybe enough people were doing that they decided, oh, we got to raise the price back up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it could be enticing to get people to purchase that member add-on.
That too, for sure.
You know. Yep. And we have a story for all of you people out there in California for Disney's California Adventure. They're going to have a free photo shoot and member wine event for DVC members at Disney's California Adventure. So from April 14th to August 6th of 2026, Disney Vacation Club is offering a free photo session at Disney California Adventure. The 15-minute session will be available at the Golden Vine House between the hours of 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Photos will be taken in and around the Golden Vine House. Participants will receive free digital downloads of all the images, which is great so that you can print out whatever you want. Advance registration is not offered, and there is a limit of 2 photo sessions per member each month. In addition, on April 1st, 8th, and 15th, there will be a special event for members in DCA called Wine Social Wednesdays. Sounds interesting.
I know.
Yeah. The event involves wine, music, and making your own wine glass charm. 3 separate 45-minute sessions will be held each day at 4, 5, and 6 p.m. The event takes place at the Magic Key Terrace, but members must check in at the Golden Vine House. There are no advance reservations, but capacity is limited, and people will be admitted on a first-come, first-served basis. So I can really foresee that these are both going to be popular events. And, I mean,
yes,
between the wine.
Especially the second one, I got to imagine.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Yeah. Yeah, I think very popular. And seeing that they only have it 3 times a day and it's only on 3 different dates, it will be very popular. So if it's something that you want to do, just remember, check in at the Golden Vine House and make sure that you're there early and in line early in order to have the advantage on it. But boy, nice.
They didn't say how early you check in or anything like that. But
no.
What about you, Sue? This makes me jealous.
it makes me jealous, too. When I saw that, it was like, huh, why can't we do some type of Wine Social Wednesday? Yeah. I mean, really, we could do that at Epcot or Hollywood Studios.
Dang Disneylanders.
I know.
You get all the best stuff.
Well, maybe they're just testing it out there first.
Oh, that could be, yeah.
Let's hope. We'll put that on our wish list.
Yeah. At the next condo meeting, we'll bring it up. Why don't we get Wine Wednesdays? Our next story is also DVC related. Everything's DVC just about this week. And 2 upcoming refurbishments. One is the Luna Park pool at the boardwalk is scheduled to close on January 11th of 2027, sometime through the month of April. for an extended refurbishment. The two leisure pools at Boardwalk will remain open, but the main pool will be closed during that time. Again, as usual, they're doing that during the winter, which obviously is probably the least popular pool time, but it's still always a bummer when the main pool is closed and you're at a resort. So at least they're telling us like almost a year in advance, so some people can plan around that. And then the Grand Floridian Cafe will be closing this year from mid-July through October for renovations. Grand Floridian Cafe is one of the few parts of the main Grand Floridian that has not been refurbished in recent years. So this is finally getting its shot at refurbishment. This Grand Floridian Cafe is, it's a sit down, but it's like more casual, right?
Yeah, it's more like a garden terrace,
yeah,
or a solarium type thing. But food is good. I've been there several times and really enjoy it. They have great onion soup, ooh, French onion soup.
Ooh,
very
that.
Good. It's a nice spot. And just with all the sunlight coming in during the day and you can look out and see the grounds, it is really a pretty place. But
yeah,
they're right. It's time. It needs a refurb.
Yep.
It's the carpeting has been used and abused.
Yeah.
And then we have another story, and this is something that most of you have probably seen either on a reel on Facebook, or you've seen it on TV, or you've seen it on the Disney website. It's called the After 2 p.m. Park Ticket. Disney is offering a After 2 p.m. Park Ticket for one theme park each day. They have a 2- and 3-day ticket. The tickets are to be used between May 26th to July 29th. This summer, and they are date-based. So if you buy a 2-day ticket, you must use the 2 days within 4 days from the selected start date. If you buy a 3-day ticket, you have to use the ticket within 5 days of the selected start date. Now, pricing for this is going to vary. It's going to vary with the day of the week, time of year. They're advertising $118 is the lowest per ticket. And it looks like when we looked at the website, $158 is about the highest, and that's over 4th of July weekend. Most of the tickets are in the 120s range, but to me, this makes sense. I mean, it's nice to have an after 2 ticket, especially if you want to go into the parks for a meal. And years ago, there used to be a special ticket over at Epcot for people who wanted to go to Epcot and have dinner in one of the restaurants. And I miss that. So this is good. You've got people who come down, they like to golf, and then they want to go to dinner at one of the parks so they can make their dinner reservations in advance and pick up this ticket,
yeah, and it,
which is nice.
At first, I hear the price. I'm like, $118, and I can't go until 2 p.m. But that's still a 2-day ticket now is almost $200 a day for a regular ticket. So it is actually a pretty good deal. If you're down there and you just want to go, you know, maybe the Disney parks aren't your primary objective for the trip, as you say, golfing in the morning or something like that, but you want to go in the evening and enjoy the parks. They are usually open later in the summertime, especially Magic Kingdom, Epcot. Well, Epcot's usually 9 o'clock, right? I mean, that's pretty standard.
Right.
But still, I mean, you think about it, it gets you, you know, 2 to 9 o'clock or later. So you still get, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours in a mm-hmm. park for that price. And again, you're saving maybe 50% off a day ticket. It's a good option to look at. I kind of wish it wasn't as date based as it is, only because it would be nice for, you know, someone that lives down there to be able to buy it and not have to use it all in a quick block. Right.
Right.
You could use it over a month or something like that. But overall, it's still a nice deal.
Yeah, I think it's really nice. And in the summertime, I mean, it's May through the end of July. You really try and stay out of the heat. A lot of people will go in first thing in the morning. The resort guests like to go in first thing in the morning with the kids when it's a little bit cooler,
right,
and then pull out and use the pools in the afternoon. So this is just the opposite. When I go into the parks in the summertime, I tend to go in late in the day,
yeah,
when it starts to cool down a little bit. I think this is a great idea, and I'm glad that they're bringing it back for the summer.
Yeah, maybe they'll expand it and continue it into the fall. Who knows?
would be nice.
All right. And lastly, we're going to remind about a few upcoming dates. If you have tickets for it, Moonlight Magic at Hollywood Studios is only a couple weeks away, April 22nd. Typhoon Lagoon also has a Moonlight Magic on June 25th. And the next session of Moonlight Magics are going to go up for release to book on June 4th. And those are Hollywood Studios, July 10th, Typhoon Lagoon on August 4th and 20th, and Epcot on September 10th. Still a few months away on those. If you got tickets coming up, don't forget to attend your event, or don't forget to book it if you're going to be there this summer. So with that, that's all I got. No trips coming up for me till October. What about you, Sue? Any recent visits to the parks?
Well, I'll be going in around, let's see, on April 17th. I've got dinner reservations with friends over at Liberty Tree. I've got a group of friends coming down. They're playing golf, and one of their daughters is going to spend the day with me. Mm-hmm. And so we're all going to the park that night for dinner and fireworks.
Cool.
So looking forward to it because Buzz Lightyear is open.
Ooh, you get to check it out, huh?
Yes, I can't wait.
Nice. Very good. All right. With that, I want to thank our three sponsors, which is DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. And with that, I am going to say, see you real soon, everybody.
See you real soon, Peter.
Bye.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.